Well, about this time last year, I made a decision that I was going to start to run. I made that decision because I'm going to be transparent with you guys. I was out of shape, and I realized that I was entering or had been for quite some time at a stage of my life where if I was not intentional about getting some exercise, then I was headed in the wrong direction. I realized that my life, just the way that it's set up, my job and things with family and different responsibilities I have, is very sedentary. That if I'm not intentional, then I'm not going to exercise. And that's something that I've always done in my life. I've always been very active, but I realized it had been a long time since I had actually consistently been doing something that was active, getting into exercise, and my health was suffering. I put on a couple of pounds, I'll be honest with you, and wasn't feeling real great about my energy levels and those kind of stuff. So I decided I'm going to start to run. I'm going to make sure this is a part of my life that I'm doing on a regular basis. So I got all the stuff out, the shoes and the shorts, got in gear. I went out to the rail trail that's just right near here. I got an app on my phone that would tell me how far I was going and how fast I was running or how fast I wasn't running and make sure that I could track everything. And I started to go. I just went. And I felt so good. I felt amazing for like 30 seconds. And it wasn't long before all of a sudden my muscles start to hurt. They start to just almost shout out and cry and, oh, man, I haven't done this in forever. And then a little while after that, I'm breathing hard. I'm sweating all the time. You know, my chest is tight and it starts to hurt. And I think this is terrible. This is awful. And I'm out on the rail trail. But I'm mentally trying to stay strong. Gut it out. Keep going. You can do this. You can do this. You got goals. You're going to make it the whole way. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm plugging along probably this fast. And all of a sudden, this bike just shoots by me, like going so fast. It almost freaked me out, the wind coming up. And I look out, but there's no bike. It's just a guy running way faster than me. And he's got one of those shirts on from McMaster University, all sporty and everything, like he's probably on a team, and he's training, and he's just, like, sprinting as fast as he can, except he just keeps going and going, and I just see him really quickly disappear into the horizon, and I start to think a few things. I can't do this. Forget it. I mean, I had some goals of how far I wanted to go and how fast I wanted to go, and I was setting my first run, the bar really, really low, but all of a sudden I was like, I can't do this. And then I thought, you know what? This isn't even fair. Do you see that guy go? He's all toned and muscular. That guy was born for this. He was bred for this. He just, everything in his life probably contributed to him being an excellent runner. He probably just woke up one day and started running, and he was amazing. And here I am just trying to get in better shape, and I'm plugging along, and everything in my body hurts. He's probably never experienced this. This is what he was born to do. That guy is a just God-given talent with athleticism and endurance and everything else. And have you ever felt that way in life? Have you ever felt like, oh, there's things that I want to do, there's goals that I want to achieve, there's a certain kind of life that I want to have, or characteristics that I want to be part of my life, and then you set out to try and make sure those things are part of your life, and that's who you are, and that's how you live, and it's how you make decisions. And then you see other people where it seems like it's just effortless for them to live that kind of life. You think about the kind of parent that you want to be, and then you look at another family and you think, man, that's just not fair. Life is not fair. Those kids came out perfect and never changed all the way up. Or you look at other people and their finances and you think, man, they have so much more than me. Everything, they're just so lucky. Their family and their background and everything in life just seemed to come together for them, and they've got it all, and life just, you know, didn't happen that way for me. And you start to think, ah, I can't do it. You might think of people's social lives, and you say, that person, they were born to make friends. They are so popular, and everybody likes them, and they're never going to be lonely, and they're always going to have people around them. And I just, that's not me, and I can't do that, and I can never get there. It's not fair. Other people were born. They have these natural skills or characteristics. That's just who they are, and I'm not that person, and I can't get there. We see people achieve things in their career, and we think, man, everything just fell into place for them. They had the right opportunity at the right time. And I wish life worked that way for me. I wish I got that lucky. I wish I had those opportunities. I wish that everything would just come into place for me, but it doesn't. And sometimes we run through some of those things in our lives where we think, and therefore, I'm just never going to be able to get there. I'm not going to be able to achieve those things, do that kind of stuff, be that kind of person, have that kind of family, enjoy that kind of lifestyle. I wasn't built for this. It's not fair. This is the way life is for me. And the reality is that life is unpredictable. Right? Sometimes we use that as an excuse to not be where we want to be in life. Well, this is just what life has done for me, and I could never have predicted it. And there are things that I have no control over in life, and that's true. And therefore, this is who I am, and this is the kind of life that I have. But I think sometimes we can take that whole way of thinking a little bit too far to the point where we start to say, and so life isn't fair, and I'm going to give up, and other people were born to be this way, and other people have more advantages than me, and other people, everything just worked out, and I will never be that, and I will never have that. And maybe for some of you, when that kicked in, that thought kicked in, is because things were tough in life, because you started having some adversity, because you started going through struggles. You maybe even cried out at one point, God, why did this happen to me? Why is this part of my life? Why do other people not have these experiences and everything seems to work out for them, but I keep getting pushed down, or I keep having roadblocks, or these things that I have no control over keep coming at me and pushing me down and keeping me away from the kind of life that maybe even you think God has planned for you. But here's what I think, and here's what I want to talk about today. Life is predictably unpredictable, but there are behaviors that have predictable results. You can predict that life is unpredictable. So if you're one of those people and say, yeah, but, you know, life happens and you can't control it, and therefore, you know, you kind of react to that and that becomes who you are. I get that. That's a predictable thing. Life is predictably unpredictable. There will be challenges that come against you, obstacles that come against you, hardships that come against you. But here's what I want you to understand today. There are behaviors, there are habits, there are characteristics that you can implement in your life that have predictable results. That even though life can be unpredictable and you're not sure what's going to happen day to day, and there may be things, very big things that happen to you that are out of your control, there are plenty of things that are in your control, behaviors, that if you think about it, and this, the more you think about it, the more obvious it becomes, have predictable results. And today that's going to lead us to our third filter in this series. We're talking about decision-making filters, some of those filters that you can run through your decisions, your behaviors through. And hopefully what we're hoping we're talking about filters is that we can clear out, or we can filter out, some of the toxic elements of our lives and leave what's really productive, leave what's helpful, leave what moves us forward in life while we get rid of some of the other stuff. And so today, if you have a Bible with you, or you want to join me on your phone on an app, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians is a letter. We talked a little bit about it last week as well. The Apostle Paul had his life transformed by the good news of Jesus, by an encounter with the risen Jesus, and he started going and planting churches all over the place, and one of those churches was in Corinth. And as he moved on, he would write back to the communities where he planted churches. And this is one of the correspondences we have, as he would hear about problems and things that they were going through as life was stirred up and they were struggling with their new faith. He would write back to them and give them some words of wisdom and ways to move forward, and teaching about what it means to follow Jesus and how the good news of Jesus transforms their community. So this is 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 9, and I'm going to start reading in verse 24. He says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. Now, when Paul's writing to this group of people, one of the things Paul was really good at was figuring out where people are at, what kind of things they struggle with, what their culture was all about, and then using those things to teach them what they needed to know about Jesus, what they needed to know about God, and how to move forward. So in the city of Corinth, one of the big things that they were known for at this time was these athletic events that they would run. They were called the Isthmian Games, and they would run them every 2 years. It was kind of like the Olympics. In fact, it was probably a certain game that they were trying to get to the status of the Olympics and rival the Olympics as one of these times where people came from all over the place, and it was one of the highest levels of competition. People would come, and there were prizes and all kinds of things, and it was a really, really, really big deal. And two of the biggest events in the Isthmian Games were running and boxing. And so in this short section we're going to look at, those are two of the metaphors that Paul uses to talk about what life is like and what life, when you have faith, is like, running and boxing. So these are people who would be sitting around thinking, oh yeah, here's the games. The games come and we watch the boxers and we watch the runners. We know what that is all about. And Paul's going to pick up on that and say, you know what this is all about. I'm going to talk to you about how this is like life, and you can use it as a metaphor. And so he starts with this, something that everybody knows if you went to the games and you were watching it. Everybody runs, but only one person wins. Only one person gets the prize. So if you were going to enter into the games, you should run to win. That's the point. If you're going to compete, the point is to try to win. And you know that only one person wins, which means that all athletes are disciplined in their training, because athletes know that they want to be at their peak to compete. And we all go, yeah, that's obvious. Everybody knows that. When you watch athletes, you know that they're disciplined. You know, the ones that are at the highest level, the professional athletes, the ones that have a chance to win. You know that they don't just show up one day and hope that they win. You know that they don't just want to win, although they do want to win. You know that they don't just imagine themselves winning, although they probably do imagine themselves winning, and that could be an important part of their mental state. But you also know that when they really want to win, they get disciplined. They watch what they eat. They make sure they get good sleep. They exercise. They practice. They stick with it when it's hard. They build up their strength and endurance over time. They devote their time and energy to getting better. They don't let themselves go physically. They don't overeat or skip workouts or think that they'll naturally get better at something just by accident. They work at it. And they work at it. And they work at it. And they make their training part of their daily routine. Day in and day out, they do the same kinds of things, the kind of things that's going to make them a better athlete, a better runner, a better boxer, and they do those things over and over and over and over. And when you think about that in sports, most of us would say, well, that's kind of obvious. Of course, athletes practice. They're supposed to practice, and that's how they get better. But I'm not sure why we don't understand that a little bit better in all other phases of life. You ever thought about that? You think about where you want to be one day. You think about tomorrow and what kind of life you want to have. And do you ever think about that same principle that if you want to get to where you're going, if you want to win, if you want to be successful in life, if you want to be satisfied in life, that it's going to require discipline. It's going to require you to do the things day in and day out that help you to become the person that has that kind of life, that gets to that kind of place. Because here's what's true, and I know that life is predictably unpredictable, and there are things that you can't control, and there are things that will come into your life that will set you back, and maybe there's nothing you can do about it. But tomorrow's successes are forged by today's discipline. It's true in sports. It's true in your finances. It's true in your family. It's true in your relationships. You will find that tomorrow's successes, where you get to tomorrow, that satisfaction that you want to enjoy one day, getting to a certain point in life, are going to be forged, built, strengthened by the discipline that you choose today. The small things that you choose to do day in and day out to help you become that kind of person, to help you achieve those kind of things, to get to that point in life. If you want to get there, if you want to be at the tomorrow that you envision, then it's going to require discipline today. Paul continues. He says, speaking of these athletes, they do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. So I run, now Paul goes personal. So he's told you about the athletes, and we all go, yeah, I get that. If you want to have an athletic, if you want to be a champion in athletics, then you need to practice. Now he turns it to himself. He says, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I want to point out three things in this passage that I hope you'll consider as we think about this filter that we're going to talk about today, our decision-making filter. The first one is this. What's the prize that you want to win? Paul says, they do it to win a prize that'll fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. I want you to think for a second about the kind of things that are important to you. Think about the kind of life that you want to live. What are the prizes that you want to win? If you're taking notes, I want you to start writing those down. What is the life that you want? What's the prize? Maybe it's a great marriage. Maybe it's children who grow up to love and respect you and you have a good relationship with them. Maybe it's financial security. Maybe it's a rewarding career. Maybe it's deep and satisfying friendships. Maybe it's peace in your mind and in your emotional life. Maybe it's a strong spiritual life. Think about what your life would look like if you achieved those things. Here's how you know if you're on the right track. When you start thinking about the prize. What's the prize that I'm after? When you think about it, and you start to envision it, and you think about how it will feel, what your experience will be like, you'll get a little bit of a smile. Has that ever happened to you? You start to daydream a little bit, and you think about, oh, man, if I had that kind of marriage, oh, man, if I had that kind of peace, oh, if we got to that place in our finances and our generosity, then you'll start to realize this little smile. That's how you know you're on the right track. Oh, that's my prize. You get excited about it. You start to think, that's the kind of thing I'd run after. That's the kind of thing I'd train for. That's the kind of thing that I would endure pain for so that I could get better, so that I could get to that place. Those are some of the ways that you'll know. Think about it. Picture it in your mind. What does that look like? What is that goal? What is that place? What is that experience? What is that relationship? What is that emotional state? Where is it that you want to get to? And then I want you to ask a second question. What risks do you take or face? What risk do you face? And not what risk do you face if you achieve that, or even if you try. I want you to think about what risk do you face if you don't train for that kind of life? Think about what Paul has said here. He says in verse 26, I run with purpose in every step. So I'm thinking about everything that I do. Every step I take has a purpose moving me towards where I want to go. And then he says, I am not just shadow boxing. Some of your translations will say something like, I'm not just beating the air. So remember, the background of this is these people know about these big, huge Olympic-type games, boxing a big part of it. And so now he brings that metaphor in. I'm not just somebody who's going out and swinging against the air, because that only does so much. The next phrase he says in verse 26 is, so I discipline my body like an athlete. And that word, discipline, literally it talks about like beating your body, like putting yourself through some physical pain in order to get stronger. And that's what training is. You go through the ringer. You do the kind of things, even if they're painful, that you're going to have to do when you're in competition so that you can get better at it and you can get stronger at it and your body can take more of it. But there's kind of a play on words between those things. He says, I'm not shadow boxing. I'm not just swinging in the air. I got to really train. I beat my body. I discipline my own body. Why? Because if you're a boxer, you know this. Here's the risk you face. If you are not properly prepared in boxing, that is, if you have not beat yourself up physically to endure, then when you get in the ring, somebody else is going to do it for you. In boxing, if you're not prepared, you don't just lose. You get beat up. You get taken to the hospital. You get seriously hurt. You can't step into a ring having never trained. He says, I'm not just shadow boxing here. I know that I'm going into life, and life can beat you up, and life can beat you down, and you could get really, really hurt. Life is predictably unpredictable. There will be things that come against you. So he says, I'm not just goofing around, punching the air. I'm disciplining my body so that I can step in the ring. Because there's huge risk to not being prepared. And you think about that. We think about life. And when something bad happens to you, has this ever happened where something bad happened to you and immediately you're going, God, why? I never saw this coming. Ever happen? Your car breaks down. I never could have seen this coming. God, why today? I'm late for my business meeting. This is the most important day of the entire month, and I could have never seen this coming. There's nothing I could do, but my transmission went out, and I'm stuck at the side of the road. And that can happen because life is predictably unpredictable. You never know when your car is going to break down most of the time. You never know when something bad's going to happen. But I'll tell you this, you can be prepared if you have a car to know that your car will break down. You can go to CAA and get a membership and you can know that I don't know when my car is going to break down, but if I have a car, I know it's going to break down. And so I will be prepared. And I get that there are things that are way bigger than your car breaking down in life that you can't see coming. Things that come up and you just can't be prepared for it. I think of a diagnosis maybe in your health. He said, man, there's no way I could have seen this coming. And it just blindsided me. And that's true. But I also know this is true, that no matter what happens in life, it's always better to be prepared. That if we know things that we can't see coming are going to come, unpredictable things are predictably going to happen, then even if we can't prepare for every little tiny detail, it's always better to be more prepared than less prepared. That you can't control everything that happens to your health, but there are a number of factors in your health that you can control. And that even if there are the things that happen to you that you can't control, you're going to be in a better place if you're healthier and you're eating well and you're getting rest and you're exercising. That's always going to do you better than if you don't. Financially, there might be things that come into your life that you never saw coming. But if you built in strong financial principles in your life, day in and day out, every month making sure that you're giving something away, and every month making sure that you're saving for your future, then when those unpredictable things come, you're always going to be in a better position than if you were not prepared. Paul says, I'm not just shadow boxing. And he realizes the implication is, if I go into the ring and I'm not prepared, I will get beat down. So I discipline my body, just like an athlete. I train so that I'm doing the things that I need to do to put myself in a good position so that when I get punched, I'm better prepared than if I hadn't trained. He says, otherwise, I fear that preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. We're going to connect this in a second, but he's talking about the fact that he's going into all these different places and he's trying to teach them. Here's what Jesus does in your life when you let him. Here's how God can transform your life if you'll open up your heart. Here's the changes you can see if you're willing to walk in step with the Holy Spirit and what God is doing in your life. And he says, I don't want to just go tell people that and preach that your life can have all these aspects and that God will powerfully move through you and then disqualify myself from not doing my part by not partnering with what God is doing in my life. If I just say, God's going to do all this, and I sit back and I don't need to train, I can be lazy, and I can be overfed, and I can pretend that everything will be all right. No. I'm going to go preach to people. This will change your life. And if I'm going to do that, then I need to make sure that my lifestyle is in step with what I'm preaching and what I'm doing. Second thing, what risks do you face? What do you need to think about? That? If you don't train, if you don't discipline, there's danger. Third thing, I think this is the obvious application, the outflow of this. What discipline do you need to embrace? Athletes know that they need to train their body over time to do things that they can't presently do. That if you want to run a marathon, you got to start running the first mile and do it over and over and over and then go a little further and a little further and a little further. They know that if they want to be stronger and more flexible or perform necessary skills in order to win, then they need to practice and practice and practice. And not just random things. They're going to practice things that move them towards their goals in that sport. And the same thing is true for us in life. And I'll tell you this, because one of the things that's going to happen, if you walk away from this and you go, yeah, that's right, I'm going to discipline myself, then what's going to happen to you likely this week is what happened to me last year when I started to run. In the first week, you're going to be discouraged and you're going to think, I can't do it. I wasn't born for this. I just don't have that in me. I don't have those characteristics. It's not who I am. Other people are born for that, but it's just, I'm not wired for it. And that's because we want to go out and decide that we're going to be something and do something and set a goal, and we want to just do it once and have it come true. We want our lives to be transformed overnight. But the reality is, and athletes know this, that the greatest athletes in the world, they didn't just go out and just, I know we think, oh, they're a natural athlete. I'm not saying genetics has nothing to do with it, but they didn't just go out and become the world's best at something. They spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours practicing for weeks and months and years and decades to get where they are. Tomorrow's successes will be forged in today's discipline and tomorrow's discipline and the next day, and sticking with it and knowing that discipline is what gets us stronger and gives us more endurance and helps us to face our obstacles and helps us to do things that today we think are impossible for us to do. Stick with it. What discipline do you need to embrace in your life? What do you need to implement in your life to help get you where you want to go? And here's the filter for today. What kind of tomorrow are today's decisions creating? And be honest with yourself. Look at your lifestyle. Look at the things that you do day in and day out. Look at your routines. Look at your habits. Whatever phase of life it might be. You're eating. You're sleeping. Your relationships, your finances, your spiritual life, the things that you're doing today, most of them have very predictable results. If you're honest with yourself, you can sit down and say, if I continue to live this way and do these things or don't do these things, I know where this is leading. I know life is unpredictable, and I know there are things that could happen to you that you can't predict today. But I also know this, that most of the things in your life, you can see this is taking me in the right direction, or this is not taking me in the right direction. This is healthy. This is not healthy. What kind of tomorrow are today's decisions creating? Where are you going? Because every decision you make, every habit you have, every relationship that you're in has a trajectory. It has a shape into your future, is going somewhere. Are you willing to be honest up enough with yourself to say, where are my decisions? Where are my habits? Where are my relationships taking me? And then be willing to change them if they need to be changed, to go in a different direction. Because what I've talked about today really isn't all that shocking. It seems kind of obvious, but the hard part is when you look at your life and you say, when I think about the destination, when I think about where I want to go, when I think about that kind of life that I want to get to, and then I think about the decisions I'm making today, is there a disconnect? Am I actually moving in that direction, or is there a disconnect? And we do it all the time. So you got to ask yourself, what kind of tomorrow are my decisions creating? What kind of tomorrow is my diet creating? What kind of tomorrow are my spending habits creating? What kind of tomorrow are my habits creating? Because we say things like this: I want a healthy Christian marriage one day, built on Christ. But you know, I'll date anybody who asks me out, because I just don't want to be alone. Or I want to have a great relationship with my wife, but we really don't have any time to spend together alone. I want to be financially secure, but I never have any money to save at the end of the month. I want to have a great relationship with my kids, but I can never get home before bedtime. I want to have a great relationship and friendships with people at church, but I don't have time to be in a life group. That's a personal one for me to you, because next month we're going to sign up for life groups. And I want you to sign up for life groups because I want you to have friends here. I want you to have deep community. And so many times I hear, oh, you know, we really don't feel like we're really connecting or we're really fitting in community. Are you in a life group? Do you get in a place where every week you sit with some other people and go deeper and build a friendship? Well, we don't really have time. There's a trajectory to that. I want to make an impact in my community, but I don't really have time to volunteer. I want to deepen my relationship with God. It's just too hard to read the Bible. My schedule is so busy, it's hard to find time to pray. You know, this principle, it's almost not even a religious one. You could teach most of this in a business seminar. It doesn't matter what you believe or what you think. This holds true for pretty much everybody. And that's good. And if you're here today and that's as far as you want to take it, that's fine. But Paul was doing this for a specific reason. I want to come back to the prize that Paul was talking about. See, in the games in Corinth, these Isthmian games, they had a prize. It was a wreath. And we read about that. Paul will talk about the crown that he wants. He's talking about this wreath. They all would have known that the winners of these events, they get wreaths. And the wreaths would consist of something like stalks of celery. Later in the game's history, they changed them to pine needles. They would make these wreaths, and they'd put them around whoever won their head. So when Paul says that these athletes, we read this a second ago, they're chasing after a prize that withers and fades, literally. Like, they're trying so hard for a wreath of celery stalk or of pine needles. And there's other stuff that would go with that. There was, you know, if you were a really great athlete and you won a lot, they'd maybe put a statue for you. There was always financial prizes that they would get. But Paul's saying, these athletes, when we watch the games, they're going for stuff that they're going to win, and then it's going to be gone. The money's going to be gone. The fame is going to be gone. The honor's going to be gone. The leaves on their crowns are going to fade away and not be that big a deal. But if we backed up to the verse before we started reading this one, Paul tells us what he's been after, what his prize is. Verse 23 says, I do everything to spread the good news, that's the gospel of Jesus, and share in its blessing. This is what Paul's talking about. So listen, this works in all areas of your life. It can work in your finances and everything else, and all those things are really important. But he says, where I am running to, that future that I'm seeing, the prize that I want, is not one that easily fades away. I do everything. I beat my body. I discipline myself. I practice, so that I can spread the good news of Jesus and share in its blessing, so that I have a kind of life that is characterized by what Jesus has done for me and how I can spread that to everyone else. That's the ultimate prize. That's what my entire life is after. That's why every step has purpose. That's why everything I do is thought through. That's why I'm willing to go through pain and struggle and hardship to get stronger and have more endurance, because that is the best thing ever. And we read, he said, I never, ever, ever want to preach that and then be disqualified from it in my own life. This is the ultimate prize, and nobody can ever take it away, and it will never fade. It is an eternal blessing. It's what life is all about. It's the ultimate prize God wants to give you. And so I do everything to spread the good news and share in his blessing. And I discipline myself. And I watch every step. And I build in habits to my life. Even when it's hard. And even when I struggle. And even when I fail, I keep on going. Paul's saying, I want the trajectory of my life and my decisions to follow Jesus. Because in following Jesus, I know I will find the most satisfying life, not just in a selfish way, but the most satisfying life for the world, for all of creation. I will find that I will be the kind of person I was always created to be. The trajectory of the cross is making decisions of faith in Jesus, to live out forgiveness and sacrificial love, mercy, justice, grace. I'll beat my body. I'll discipline my body. I'll discipline myself to follow Christ. And the amazing thing about that is that unlike an athletic endeavor, it's not all up to us. And Paul is saying we have our responsibility to move in that direction. And he teaches us, let your decisions, let your lifestyle, let your habits move in that direction and work hard at it. But the amazing thing for Paul when he talks about the good news is that unlike the crowns that you would win in the games, the good news is not earned. The good news has been given to you. The goal now is to live a life worthy of it, to run every day in step with the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, you never do that alone. Because Jesus Christ has gone before us, and he set the trajectory. The trajectory of Jesus' life, his path was the cross. The crown that he got wasn't pine needles, it was one of thorns. And the prize that he foresaw in enduring the cross, in sacrificial love, in giving himself up, was the restoration of his people. People like you and me. And he set a trajectory to draw us back to him. And now Paul says, I want that to be my entire life. And once you've been given that gift, the last thing you want to do is to run in a different direction. He says, so I discipline myself to make sure that my entire life is about following Jesus and helping other people to follow Jesus and to know the same blessings in their life. And so today, as we close our service, we have one more song for you, and we're going to take communion together. And so our door holders are in a minute are going to pass out two elements to you. One of them is a small cracker, a small piece of unleavened bread. And when you take that, I want you to think of the symbolism that is in that. And to know that that piece of bread symbolizes the body of Christ. Think of the body of Christ and what he was willing to give for us. That he was willing to discipline himself. That he was willing to have his body beaten. To give us what we could never earn. To know that he was willing to become like one of us and to run the race that all of us run and yet to be the ultimate winner. And then to offer you the prize, to offer us the crown, his Holy Spirit, his presence in our life, strength for us to move through this life and to be the people that he's created us to be. And they're going to give you a little cup of grape juice that symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross, the blood of the covenant, which means that Jesus was willing to die to say, our relationship will never be broken. Our relationship is written in blood. It's life and death. And Jesus saying, I'm willing to give my life to make sure that you never have to be without me. And there's going to be some music playing, and we're going to sing a song. And I encourage you, maybe you need to take a couple of minutes and just hold those two things in your hand to remind yourself that just as real as you will hold those things is as real as these promises are from God, as real as his presence, as real as his forgiveness is. And whenever you're ready, as we sing, go ahead and take that piece of bread, eat it, allow it to go inside of you and to know that Jesus Christ has given himself to you to strengthen you for whatever you're going to face this week, to be the kind of person of faith he's called you to be. And when you drink that juice and it goes inside of you, to be reminded that he would do it at great cost to himself, that his wreath, his crown was of thorns. His path, his decision was the cross. And his prize was you. He loves you that much. Take those things inside of yourself and give thanks. Maybe spend a couple of moments asking for forgiveness for times where you've allowed your habits and your decisions to draw you off course and to allow yourself to feel once again the forgiveness and grace of Jesus bringing you back. And today, if that's not you, if you're not there, if you're not a follower of Christ, if that's not the trajectory of your life, that's okay. And I hope today maybe you've learned something that'll be impacting in your life in some way, but you can let those two things pass you by. You don't need to participate in that. But maybe just think about it. Think about what your ultimate prize is in life that you're seeking and whether when you get there, it'll be as satisfying as you think it will be. I want you to think about the incredible invitation of Jesus Christ. He welcomes you back into God's family. That he calls you his son, his daughter, his family. He promises to walk with you and care for you through this life, to bring you to a place where you come to be the person that you're always created to be. So join me in prayer now. And our Heavenly Father, today I want to pray for anybody who's all of a sudden realizing that maybe there's a bunch of decisions or habits in their lives that are destructive and are not taking them to the place in life that you want them to be at. God, I pray that in these moments they would know an incredible grace. They would know a forgiveness that has come through Jesus Christ giving himself up and shedding his blood. They would know that those decisions don't need to define them. That today they have an opportunity to turn from them and move in a different direction. God, would you strengthen all of us to make the kind of decisions and do the kind of things and build the kind of habits that lead us closer and closer towards you. God, would you empower us by the strength of your Holy Spirit to do those things and be those kind of people, because we can't do them without you. But we thank you today for the body of Christ that reminds us that it's you that gives us strength. And we thank you for the cup that reminds us that it's by the blood of Jesus Christ, by him giving his life, that all of this is made possible. And today, God, may we rejoice that you have shown us the real path of life, path of restoration, path to true satisfaction and happiness, and that path, that trajectory goes through the cross and follows Jesus Christ. May that be the defining characteristics of our life. Thank you for the body of Christ given for us. Thank you for the blood that was shed for the forgiveness of sins. It's in Christ's name we pray.